Go ahead and open your Bibles, Matthew chapter 17. We'll start from there, then we'll go from everywhere. Amen. It's an hour and 30-minute sermon. We'll do it in about 10 minutes. Amen. No. I knew I'd get an amen somewhere. No, we'll look at, we're going to start at Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. It says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now that's a powerful, powerful statement, ain't it? When I first read that as a young Christian, I thought, I don't want to say it, but I was so foolish. I sat there and tried to pray, move a tree. Really try to move it. It didn't move. I was really like, it didn't answer the prayer, but I didn't understand it. But I believed. I thought, this is powerful, and it's true. It's powerful. You can move mountains. You can move things. It is, the thing is, understanding the scripture, but it's not talking about the physical tree, but burdens and problems and struggles. But I've always think about this as a powerful, and I always think I need to get a hold of God. I need to be able to get close to God and be able to reach God so I can get prayers answered. And the thing is, what's stopping me? What's hindering me? And that's what I'm going to talk to you tonight about it, the hindrance of our prayer. Some things that may be hindering your prayer to help you grow, get stronger. Because I think we all need to work on it. And we all need to struggle it. I promise you this, I can preach this tonight and next year I can preach it again and you can learn from it again. This is principle truths, just basic truths. And I imagine you may have heard some of these truths here. The thing is, ain't it good that the Bible, there's nothing new. It's really the same stuff. It's just kind of built upon it. I was talking to Brother Bobby today about some truth about salvation. Bobby's saved. Brother Bobby could tell you how to get saved. And we were just talking about some things that it really builds on that foundation, help us to teach others and grab truth, make it stronger, be a better soul winner. You know, it really is. I love the Word of God. It's just so good that I can use, apply it over and over again. I mean, it helped my wife. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Yeah. But y'all are hard. Y'all got to be lightened up a little bit. She ain't that bad of a sinner. I promise you. She's pretty bad, but not that bad. Let's pray tonight. Father, did I pray? Let's pray again. Father, we do need you, and I need you, Father. Help us know, look at these truths, Lord, that we look at your Word, and all things are available to us, Lord God. There's nothing impossible without you, Lord. But, Father, some things that does hinder our prayers, affect us when we do pray, that we're not effective, we're not what we ought to be. And, Lord, you want us to be a people that know how to pray and get a hold of you and be able to communicate to you, Lord, and be effective, Lord. And you don't want us to be struggling. You want us to be overcomers in our life, Father. God, help us as a parent and dads or moms and be able to pray so our children see that there's a difference and they know how to get a hold of you. And help us be able to get a hold of you. Father, we can teach others below us how to get a hold of you. But God, most importantly, I want to get a hold of you, so I just want to be able to talk to you and knowing that you're my God and you're always with me. It's sweet to always be with you, Father. Now, Lord, as we do look at these truths, Lord, help us apply it and be effective in our lives because you're a great God and we love you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, prayer is godly. We know that prayer is godly and prayer is beneficial and prayer is necessary. That's just a basic truth. But in our prayer life, do we have a deeper burning desire to pray? Do we have a consistency in our life to pray? No, most people don't pray. They know they're supposed to pray, but they don't pray. Well, then why do they don't pray? I think because they're not consistent in their prayer life, because they're not getting answer to prayer. It's not like being effective. I pray, but God doesn't answer. And I don't think that people don't pray because they're not saying that God doesn't answer and God is not good. It's that they don't see the value. Why would I read my Bible if I don't really get nothing out of the Bible? Why am I going to stand and spend time, an hour a day, praying that God never even answer? My mind's wandering everywhere and God's not doing it. It's just a waste of time. I could be more effective doing the things I need to get done, mostly. But our prayers are hindered. And the thing is, I don't know about you, but I think you do, but I want more of a burning desire to get closer to God. I want to be more consistent in my prayer life. I want to be more focused. I mean, I really do wish I could be more effective praying 2 hours a day and get more things done like the other men of God. I really do. I struggle. But listen, we all struggle. I'm just trying to be reality as we're Wednesday night. This is home folk, but I hope we have a burning desire to get closer. Really, I'm talking about burning desire in the heart. I want to get close to God. I want to get hold of God. When you get home tonight, you're going to turn on TV or you're going to spend a little time with God because you love Him. You know, me and my wife, a lot of times we go to bed, we turn off the lights, and we talk. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. We talk about the kids and struggles and, oh, we find out what you did. We're going to find out, you know. We talk. How about you when you spend time, when you talk to your spouse and you spend time with God, before I go to sleep, I want to talk to you. You're just a good God. Or whatever. You know, it's a burning desire. We need to have that. You know, we know genuine prayer is powerful. It accomplishes great, mighty things. We know that. If you don't, you should. There's no limit to potential power of prayer. Listen, the Bible says in James 5:16, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth what?
Much.
And we know it does. It does much. Matthew 7:20 says, listen, all is a grain of a mustard seed. It doesn't take a lot of faith. I don't have to be a great theologian. I don't have to have my doctorates and postdoctorates. I don't have to have all these master's degrees. I just have enough faith to believe in the Word of God and say, God said it, I believe it. I mean, that's all I really need. Now, it needs to grow, but listen, it's just a little bit of faith, and I'm powerful how a little faith does. Just a little faith. Little as much, and when God isn't in it, right? I mean, it's the truth. I mean, we talk about little as much, and listen, what we give the faith promise, and we all give a little bit here, all collected together, we can do great, mighty things with God, right? I mean, it's just truth. We can be effective in our life. Prayer is unlimited to potential power, but what limits our prayer is our hindrance to our prayer, and basically we can render it totally effective. I can sit and pray for an hour and have no effect. You too. Listen, our prayers are a lot of times getting hindered because of some things in our life I'll get to. I'm just trying to build up to an introduction, but there's limits that does affect our prayer life. The point tonight, I want to look at our attitude or listen, our activities that can do and create problems in our prayer life. I mean, if I want to get a hold of God, if I don't want to get a hold of God, none of this stuff does no matter. Do what you want. But your prayer life is no good. I don't want that. It's a relationship. You notice they didn't say, Jesus, teach me how to preach. If Jesus were here, would you say, Jesus, teach me how to pray? They saw something when he prayed. It's like he was talking to God. Think about it. They saw something about it. He got his prayers answered. When you're praying and people listen to you praying, your kids, your family, are you talking to God or are you talking to people around you? There's times I pray an invitation and I am talking to people. But there's times I got to talk to God, though, because he's the one that's going to do the convicting and drawing, doesn't he? It really is. It makes a difference. Tonight we need to look at some activities in our life. Listen, we can talk about things that hinders our prayer so that we can examine ourselves to be more effective in our prayer life. Number one that really affects our prayer lives is selfish motivations. In James chapter 4, verse 3, it really gives an example. It's nothing new. It says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask what? Amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Anytime I bring prayer before God and it's based on wrong motives, that's what amiss basically means. Amiss, wrong motives, selfish desire, or for my own pleasure, it will not be fulfilled. I'm doing it for myself. This is what I want. I want a new car. I want this. Lord, I want a big church, and I want this Sunday school class, and I want this here, and I want that, and I don't want a marriage couple, and then I want this, this, and this. Because then I can have a college, and then I can have this. You see the motives? God, I need the job, and if I get a job, I can get this and get this and do this. God, this is what I want. See the motives? I want a house, and I want the house this way, I want this way and this way. It's easy. It's easy to fault ourselves in the motives because, one, we're very selfish people, aren't we? Amen, preacher. We are. We really are very selfish in our prayers. Who says, Lord, give me tribulation? Lord, give me tribulation so I can learn and see what's in my sin. I get my life better. I don't do it. No, give me the good stuff. You know, just tell me, you know, I don't have to go through all that stuff. It pleased the Father. I'm going to tell you again. It pleased the Father to bruise him, didn't it? Listen, we need to be prayer, not self-motivation. If we're not searching for God's desire, then we will fail. Luke 22, verse 42, it says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup. Remember, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's Jesus praying. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Listen, God, it's not my will, thine be done. I'm asking, Lord, if it's your will to bruise me, it's your will to put the spikes in my hand, if your will to put sin upon my life, and it's your will to make me a mock, then that's fine, he's saying. But it says in Isaiah, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God. So, Lord, if it pleases you to bruise me, if it pleases you to hurt me, then thine will be done. I'm happy. That's what I desire. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Not my will, but thine will. It's not selfish, was it? Amen, preacher. It's not selfish. It was looking for God's will. It really was, because he said, not my will. The thing is, when I pray, am I praying to get a selfish motivation to do it my way? The Bible says in Psalms 34, verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give the desires of thy heart. My will is to desire the things of God. And once I start desiring the things of God, then God says, I'll hear those desires. That's what I want, he says. It pleased the Father to bruise Jesus Christ. My folks, it pleases God to bruise Job. It pleased God to put pressure in your life. It's a blessing. Lord, not my will, but thine. You work in my life. Hey, we must be certain that prayers are for his glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, whether you eat, drink, whatsoever you do, do all for what? The glory of God. See, our purpose, again, is not focused on self, is it? It all is for the glory of God. And it's our purpose for God's kingdom, and the most important thoughts in our life is for the kingdom of God. God, work in my life. Help me see what you want. This is maybe what I want. Lord, take this thorn away. If it's not thy will, that's fine. God, if it is this situation, not your will, then fine. That's your will, Lord. But help me see. Well, this is what I'm thinking is best. But if it's not the best, then Lord, thy will be done. That's what I'm looking for, God's will. Number two is the second thing that hinders our prayer, not just selfish motivations, is turning away from scriptures. Look with me in Proverbs 28, verse 9. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, it says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. So if I turn my ears from the law, he said, my prayer should be abomination. So if one desires to know, not to know truth, and one desires not to read the Word of God, then is his prayers just the same as the one that says, I know it, I'm not going to do it? God, I don't want to read the Bible, because if I read the Bible, guess what? I'll know these truths and I don't want to be held accountable. I'm just going to do what I want to do. God, I mean, I don't want to know it, so, but God says, I'm going to still hold you accountable. Because you're not trying to find out those truths. He said the Word of God is for us to know the law. Listen to what hinders us and what pulls us. Here's the commandments of God. My responsibility is to find out what God's commandments are. Find out what His precepts are. That's my responsibility. But if I'm not trying to find those truths out, he said, you're willfully disobedient. You're turning from the law. He said, your prayers then is an abomination to me. So it means, and that's my responsibility to start reading the Word of God. Well, I don't want to read the Word of God because it tells me some things I don't want to know. I don't want to do. Doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15 says, when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings. It says, from before my eyes, cease to do evil. You know, they spread in Kings, in 1 Kings chapter 8, where Solomon was praying, and he was standing before the altar, and he praying before God, and he spread his hands forth as a picture of submitting, and he's talking to God. But he says, wash your hands of putting away. You know, as a relationship with God, I mean, I study the Word of God to find the things in my life that it's sin, I can turn away from them. But the thing is, you know, when the Bible says, if I confess my, with it, 1 John 1, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive my sins. Ain't it the relationship that I know it's wrong, and I say, you know what, God, that I'm your child, I mean, there's a relationship, but my fellowship is broken, and I need to get some things right in my life. It's a cleansing process. Well, listen, I want to turn from scriptures, but if I see the truth, and I say, you know what, that's wrong, I want to stop doing what's wrong. But I may mess up tomorrow, but you know what? Stop again. But it says wash your hands. Get right. Listen, every day we should be doing 1 John 1:9. We should be confessing our sins. Every single day, say, God, I mess up on this. You know what, God, you know, what about this? I'm not sure. Well, search the scriptures and find out if it's wrong or right. Listen, I may think it's wrong to wear an LSU hat that says, go Tigers. To me, it may be sin. You say, well, it's not sin, but to me it is. To him to do is good, to him not do it's to sin, right? So if I say, you show me in Scripture, say, Brooke, preacher, it's okay, it's righteous, it's holy to wear that. Oh, I can wear it. But if I refute, now I got an amen. But if I refuse to search it, it's rebellion. I don't want to know it. I want to be where I'm at, be satisfied. Listen, that hinders our prayer. When we quit turning away from Scripture, you know, we know it's wrong, then do turn away from. Stop. You say, I mess up. I know you mess up. But every day you get up and say, today I'm going to try to do what's right. There's a determination and a purpose. You say, preacher, I'm afraid to go soul winning. Well, go. I remember Alexis went soul winning. She got a burden. She went by herself. And the lady started chewing her out. She said, okay. And she went to the next door. I was so proud of her because she took it. And she didn't quit. She didn't turn from the law. Go in all the world and preach the gospel. She had a burning desire. We need to continue on. Listen, we should be turning from the Word of God, you know, to obey it, to follow it, to be submitted. Number three is this, not just of self-motivation that hinders our prayers or turn away from Scriptures. How about unforgiving heart? Turn me to Mark chapter 11. In the book of Mark chapter 11, verse 25, and probably have to start going there a little bit faster here. Let me find it. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. It says, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you. It says, forgive your trespassing. So if I have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespassing. So I need to have a forgiving heart. An unforgiving heart hinders my prayer. When I come to one, I'm praying and stand before God, and I got Brother Peterson's on my mind, and Brother Peterson says something, it just hurt my feelings. I'm mad, and he bothered me, and he really hurt me, and I wish he didn't do it. And you know, but it starts more when I think about it. You know how you think about it? I'm going to get mad, and I'm thinking about, God, you know, you need to work on Brother Peterson. You need to start doing something to him. You need to start putting the pain on. What am I doing? I'm complaining, ain't I? My first objective is say, you know what, God, forgive him. That's my first response. But you know what? He may not know he sinned against me. But I need to say, God, forgive him. And put it underneath the blood. Just like when Christ forgave you, before you even asked, he put it underneath the blood. He says, you come to me, but it's already washed, it's under. But that's the forgiving heart. So when I'm praying, he says, when you're praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father which in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses. I need a lot of forgiving. I mean, I live with this woman. I need a lot. You just don't understand. Boy, y'all hard tonight. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? An unforgiving heart. How many times you get mad at somebody you don't forgive them? They hurt me deeply, preacher. You don't know what they did. I don't. You didn't told me. But have you heard what they did to Jesus Christ? Oh, let me get real. How about what you did? And you want him to forgive you? I ain't talking about the sins that before you got saved. I'm talking about after you got saved. You know, God, forgive me for this. And you keep on and forget on and on and on. How many times I forgive you? You said you're going to stop. You keep lying. Now I didn't forgive you for lying. And consistently, unforgiving heart. Listen, I need to be having a forgiving heart. Ain't it our business to have a... He's got a job of forgiving, doesn't he? That's a business of God. He forgives. You come to me, he'll forgive you. Ain't it my responsibility to have that forgiving business too? I'm working for my Father, and that's our job, ain't it? Have a forgiving heart. Ooh, y'all finally... I tell you what, if I don't hear amens, we're going to 8:30. Hey, man. Whew, I'm going to start beginning with that one now.
But having a forgiving heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "And you be kind one to another."
Kind. Complaining? You know, Brother Peterson, God, he hurt me. You know how he said it? He just hurt my feelings. I know great peace, how they look, you love that law. I know, but you should see how he did it. He gave me that look. Because why is he that way? Because his wife is mean to him. No. And the reason I'm picking on Brother Peterson, because he's never hurt me. So I can use him clearly as an example. But what I'm saying is that we get hurt. How about your spouse? We hurt each other, don't we? We get mad and we're going to show them, brothers and sisters. I bet you ask Brother Frank and them, they've been married for years and they've learned that it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Be kind to one another, forgiving, tenderhearted. That's what it says, right? It says, forgiving one another, and as Christ for sake, he's forgiven you. And it, for as his sake, he forgave you. It's like, I'm not doing it because I got to, because he forgave me, and I see what he did. See, you look within, it's not a selfish motive no more, is it? It's about others. It's about giving him glory in what he's done. See, what am I objective on this here? What is my purpose? To have a burning, more desire and have a consistent prayer life where God does answer my prayer. I got to have that. But see, if I ain't forgiven and I'm very self-motives and I'm just doing it for myself, I ain't going to follow the scripture. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. You know, that's how I feel. It doesn't matter how I feel no more. It matters what this says. Any other response, then it does hinder my prayer, doesn't it? All right, number four. What hinders my prayer? Self-motives, turn away from Scripture. Three, unforgiving heart. About four, a family discord. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. You can follow along, and you can look on the screen behind me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. "Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife and unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Listen, it deals with basically a family, especially a husband and wife. And listen, my prayers could be hindered if there's a problem. Between my wife and I, if there's a problem and we're not resolving it, because she is my wife, but yet she's my sister. And yet if I'm not forgiving her or she's not forgiving me, then we got a problem of unforgiving heart, don't we? You know, then we're complaining to God. Look what she did. She ain't listening to me. I'm the man. She don't care. She don't understand my feelings. Self motives. Well, maybe I don't say because you know what I'm talking about, because it's so true. Because I got this out of a book that says in the Bible that all sinners, all people in Grace Baptist Church are full of sinners. We all like that way. But how can I affect, and listen, how can I affect me to have a better prayer life? How about, listen, being aware to work out my family. How about my mom? She lives in my home. I mean, I'm just going to be throwing my laundry. I know y'all don't have sins, and I don't know y'all don't have to do no wrong, and y'all all walk on water, but we don't. But if my wife and my mama have a problem, ain't there a problem then? We don't resolve it? How about me and mom? How about me and the kids? The kids are being rebellious, and kids are fighting, or kids resisting. Kids are resisting against grandma. Ain't that a problem? Y'all ever, is that anything similar to y'all family? If I don't resolve that, it's hindering my prayers. I need to resolve that. You notice that all this is a relationship with others and God. What's a great command? Love thy God with all the heart, all the soul, and all the mind. And love thy neighbors as you want to feel like loving them. As yourself. I want everybody to love me and everybody to respect me. Everybody to think I'm this way, but yet we don't want to treat them that way. You know?
It does hinder our relationship. It hinders my prayer in my life. Man, my wife are supposed to be literally one flesh. Listen, I'm breaking that fellowship where we're out of the line of God. We're out of that pattern. We're supposed to be a unity. Now we're fighting. We're arguing. And we're not unity. And you know what? You know what causes churches to really split up? Because they quit praying for one another. They quit really caring about one another. They started caring about this little group here. And this little group here is not doing what we want. And there's a discord. You know, we ever get still a sense of discord, we better get on our altars and we better start calling for a fast and saying, God, help us, because we are one body. We really are. We need each other. I need you. You need me. Everybody. And listen, that's the thing that the devil wants to bring, discord. But yet, and you can look at Acts, what was making it so powerful? There was unity, one mind, one accord. Family, that's what a relationship in a house is like that, isn't it? My wife started doing her own thing and caring about her own little needs. I'll just take care of my own little needs. And what about them? They're going to do their own little thing. And we know as teenagers what the world, we've been through it. And you may not raise them, but you've been through it, how the world and everything will attack you. How can I put a hedge around my family? Husband, put around my family if we're discord and broken up. It's hindering my prayers. It's got to be worked on it. Relationship with God. Listen, don't let it affect us. You know, the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Amen. Well, I ain't going to talk tonight. Do I need to go there anymore? But we need it. If I want my prayers to be effective for God, I need to start working on some of these things in my life, don't I? I'm telling you, this is a basic truth, folks. Basic truth. Discord in our home hinders our fellowship with God. It affects our relationship with God. Listen, we're heirs together. We're heirs. My wife and I were heirs. My family, they're going to get on and find some knothead and then the heirs, they're heirs together for their family. But listen, we're all together. We're all together as a unity of this church. And one day Jesus Christ may come today or tomorrow and he may come in a second. But guess what? We're all going to be heirs together. Why are we in discord with each other? Why can't you take the wrong? Because they hurt your feelings. You love them? It's about me, preacher. Well, then I got a problem with self now, don't I? Then I'm going to go to God and complain about everything that hurts my feelings. I hope it's speaking to you. Then we deal with hinders my prayers, self-motives, turn away from Scripture, unforgiving heart, family discord. How about this? Unconfessed sin. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart. Listen, I have the primary hindrance in my life. I got sin, unconfessed sin. I won't repent. I don't want to change. And I'm not going to. I know I'm supposed to read my Bible. It's not that important. It's not wrong. It's wrong. Listen, if I know to do it and I don't want to do it, if I love the sin, why am I letting sin destroy me? It brings forth death. It's killing me. So I'm saved, but it destroys your family. It destroys your relationships. It destroys everything. It's not good. But we play with it like it's, listen, all here is hand grenade and we'll pass it around and see if it blows up. It's fun. Come on, just do some little bit of drugs and be okay. Everybody's doing it. Don't you see the commercials on TV? All the men and women are drinking and they're having a good old time. It's fun. It's not. It destroys, it kills, hurts. You don't know how many tears the family has been on their knees begging. You just get right. destroy. Listen, but unconfessed sin destroys us, and it's hindering. If we're unconfessed prayers, it brings a hindrance between me and God. And I'm thinking it's most interesting thing. It's important. You know, I'm justified by faith, but if I confess my sins, there builds that fellowship. If I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's dealing with that fellowship with God. I mess up, God, and you know, there's some things that does hinder me. There's some things that I'm weak in, and you know it, and it bothers me. But I gotta put a hedge, Father. I mean, everybody can walk this far, but I gotta be way back here because you know I'm gonna fall. Whatever it is. But you need, does it matter? Step back. Because the whole purpose, I don't want to sin against my God. I don't want to regard it. I don't want to love it. I hate it. Because it destroys my family. It destroys my relationship. Listen, I can't get a hold of God because of that sin. That's why you maybe don't have a continuance of your prayer life. Maybe that's why you don't have a really burning heart. Because some things in your life seem to be more important than God. You're going to have to examine yourself now, don't you? You're going to have to look in your heart life. Do you want a close relationship? Do you want your prayer to be effective that nothing's impossible unto you? If you're in a church and they say, oh, you need to talk to that so-and-so, that's a prayer warrior. Why can't every one of us be a prayer warrior? Where does it say that only a few could be a prayer warrior? Can't they be a prayer warrior? Brother Bobby, Brother Jack, how long you been saved, brother? Estimated. I only got 10 minutes. 42 years. Lex, Maggie, how long you been saved? A year? Can't she get a hold of God just as good and just as powerful as He can? She lives right, trying to say, well, I'll do my best. What I know, she don't know theology. He could tell her everything. He can spend 20 years teaching her the Word of God and she can learn. It ain't that. It's that relationship. It's that fellowship. You have unconfessed sins in your life that hinders us to be in prayer tonight. You may be committed to sin that's not even realizing it's sin. It's hindering your prayer life. Listen, it makes have you heard that saying that prayers can't reach the ceiling? Or it can't reach heaven because of brass, because it stops? Because of our sin. We need to get a hold of God. Psalms 139, verse 23, verse 24, says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. I mean, there, you see his burden. He says, look, if there's anything in my life, God, show it to me so I can get it right and get closer to you. Is that your prayer? I mean, you really say, Lord, if this is what it is, then I will confess and get right. If I'm praying selfishly, you know, things that I don't know, help me see so I can get a right relationship with you. If you want a burning, desiring, continual prayer life with God that is not hindered, you won't answer prayers. I mean, I just thinking, I saw Miss Tammy works in, and I know we got Miss Pam and Brother Tim and Mike and his wife don't work there, but work in a wicked, vile place. You think, well, they really need it. They do. We better pray for them, don't we? It's sin against us if we don't pray for them. But look at places like Brother Peterson and other places that are professional and everybody's doing good, you know, not wicked, but it is. Listen, we go in this world, we need God. We need to get a hold of God. But God, search my heart. How about this? Doubt. James chapter 1, verse 5. I need to write that down so I have to go find it myself here. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. Listen, if I pray of a doubt or unbelief, that's what's hindering me. So without question, faith is the most essential part of prayer, is it not? Without faith is impossible what? To please him. So lack of faith or hinders my prayer ability to move God. Mark chapter 6, verse 5 says, and he said he could there do no mighty works. This is where he's in Is it in Capernaum where his family was? I think it was in Capernaum. I could be wrong. But he was praying with his family, and they knew his brother, he knew his sister, knew his mom and dad. He said, ain't this the one that's a carpenter? He says, and he could there do no mighty works, save, that means except, that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Listen, their inability to believe and doubt stopped God from doing great things. I mean, so my unbelief is stopping God. Let not man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. Listen, you're not coming by faith and trust in God. Get off your knees and go home. You ain't just wasting time. And that's a lot of times why we don't pray, because God ain't answering. So I'm just going to spend my time doing whatever I want to do. I don't want that. I want to get a hold of God. I want that E.M. Bounds relationship we read about, or George Mueller. Can we start an orphanage without asking a single dime? Maybe that was just a different God than we have, huh? No. He got a hold of God because he believed God, and without doubt, God worked. Listen, God demands our faith be in prayer. Listen, God can do a lot with a little, though. We know in John chapter 6, I think it was 5 loaves and a few small fishes, or I can't remember fishes. Yeah, I think maybe 2, whatever it was. He fed all these people, and he said 12 baskets were left over the bread. Just a little bit. I mean, he did it again the second time. And listen, God, there's a grain of mustard seed, and he said you can move the mountain. He didn't say that I don't have to have this great theology. I don't have this great knowledge. It's just take what I got and know it and believe it. Where's your faith? You know so much. Where's your faith? Can you walk on water if he bids you? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. It's a command. Can you not tell somebody, I don't know how to do it, preacher? Well, come and I'll show you. We'll go so, and I'll show you. We'll learn. And listen, you're able if you believe. Acts chapter 12. Remember they were Peter got put in prison because Herod killed James, and they found Peter going to put him in prison, going to kill him. And the church got together and they prayed. Not a big church. God answered their prayers. He was let go. Listen, God honors faith because genuine faith honors him. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says, Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And John 14, 13, he says that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Listen, if I'm praying that gives God honor and glory, listen, he's going to answer it. I mean, listen, that's his job. He wants to be glorified. I mean, it's just, think about it. My unbelief stops me doing great, mighty things for God. And it's stopping you. What's hindering your prayer? Remember Luke chapter 18, I'll close here. Luke 18, well, remember the woman, the parable of the, what was it? She was praying for the unjust judge. Remember the parable of the unjust judge. And she went to him and begged him and persisted, would not quit, and, you know, relieve her of that debt or whatever. I forgot what it was. Now, I'm sorry. But she was persistent. And Jesus Christ's point was this. If he's unjust and he did because her perseverance, how much more would I do that it's a good God, a loving God? Listen, let's not pray for selfish motives. Let's pray that our help God help our unbelief. God, search my heart. Let's be really serious about our prayer and say, God, what is it in my life that's stopping my prayer life, having a closer relationship? It may be all 7 of them. Take one, work on one. Then the next one, and the next one. Why? Because you get a bunch of prayers answered? No, you get a relationship with Almighty God. That might be a day that somebody in here really needs to get a hold of God, and you're the only one who would do right. But imagine if we all did right, what God could do in our lives. Now, prayer can change the world. I don't know if you believe it or not, but I believe that prayer really can change the world, guys. Only unhindered prayers can reach God's ear. The question is, has the Holy Spirit spoke to you? as the Holy Spirit of God. And let me ask you this. What did God speak to you tonight about? I know He spoke to you. I know some things in our life that we're struggling in. The question is, what are you going to do with it? You need to respond to God and get some things right and work on those some things. It may be all seven. I think we all could follow it in our truth. We can say, you know what, God, it's every one of them. But folks, let's get a hold of God and start having our prayers hindered and start getting some prayers answered. Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.